welcome to Between the Lines. Listening to literature online. This is show number 76. So, what's new, age-old children? Short selections from Eduardo Galeano's new book, Children of the Days, A Calendar of Human History, translated by Mark Fried, or Fried, F-R-I-E-D, and a poem from Children of the Sun, Prosatry Unplugged, by Teocasin Ghost Horse of the Cheyenne River Lakota Nation. People, when they see you, say, what's new? And some people respond, same old, same old. Sometimes they tell you something new. Well, as we head into the so-called new year, it's a new year, so-called new year, we'll take a look at what this is about. This is your host, Monk. Thanks for listening. Winter solstice, as the days start to get longer, is kind of like really the new year, the beginning of the year seasonally. But, of course, we have this calendar thing going on, and so that's a new year, which is celebrated, I suppose, around the world, though not everybody celebrates it as such. I remember the year 2000, they had on TV, they showed from around the world the millennial turning of the year, and that was quite an amazing thing to watch as it went from country to country around the world, and it was a great opportunity, a great showing of sort of connective consciousness around the planet with the Mother Earth. And kind of I was sad that other year they just did that for the millennial. Maybe some places have done it, but it seems like that was it. And now, instead of building on that and strengthening that kind of connection around the planet, it's that's what some of the work we must do. Some people, spring is the new year, Easter or whatever, spring, things start blooming the beginning of the year. Now some cultures, it's different, and Galeano mentions that briefly, the Asian New Year, which this year is January 31st, Chinese, Korean, and other Asian cultures. Tibetan New Year is March 2nd. Coming up, If I said this year, it's 2014. And sometimes some people go by, I learned to go by the Chinese astrology in the U.S. because we're in this country. If you study Chinese astrology, you can apply it to this year. So January 1st begins the year of the male wood horse. And on the cover of the calendar, the haiku calendar, which has been mentioned before, which there's still a few copies left if you still have an interest, but the Chinese have 12 astrological signs and 5 elements, metal, water, wood, fire, and earth, which make for a 60-year cycle. And they alternate male to female. And the element flavors the year. And this little bit is from the astrology section of a interesting website called Spirit-Alembic. And this is a description of wood, what the wood means. Wood makes one fond of everything natural, simple, direct, honest, homey, rustic, and lived in. Wood year people and societies during wood years tend toward the philosophic and are happiest wherever love and harmony are growing. And the horse in Western astrology is the scales. Librans, Librans are known for balance and harmony and diplomacy and sociability. The horse is the Asian symbol, and the horses travel in packs. So there's a lot of herd mentality in a gregarious social way that goes on with the horse. And so that's a short, brief bit of flavoring of what to look for in the wood horse year. Will there be any political Trojan horses? I don't know, but hey, that sounds like something to look out for. A lot of astrological signs have kind of a downside or a negative side, which one can learn to overcome. Being that my sun sign is a Libra, for many years I would agonize over decisions, since Libras are known for kind of going back and forth. I mean, literally at restaurants, it was painful. It would take me, could take me 10 minutes, 15 minutes to know what to order. So that kind of thing really got me to get beyond that level of my Libra-ness and learn to be much, you know, more decisive and clear. So whatever your astrological sign, you know, if there's a downside to it, that's something to learn from. But using a composite of information, I put together a little blurb about the horse on top of the cover of the calendar, and I'll read that now. The wood element helps the horse to be open-minded, calmer, and thus less nervous than horse energy can sometimes be. As the Western symbol of the scales indicates, balance is essential for keeping the horse serenely energized and stable. Since they travel in packs and are quite sociable, hanging with the herd helps keep the horses happy. In Lakota, horse is, and I'll try to pronounce this, Shun Ka Wakan, or dog holy or dog sacred, yet sacred is not even a word, and there is far more meaning than just holy or sacred. Thanks to Teokasin for that little bit of info. Modern vehicles may have horsepower, but real horsepower comes from balancing one's wild spirit with the human form. A classic saying shows the deeper meaning of workhorse. Everyone knows the achievement that crowns the age, but no one sees the sweating horses of antiquity. As a cult, Pegasus, the flying horse, used one of his hooves to create the founts of inspiration. And that's to tell a little writer secret. I actually, at like Michael's Craft Shop, they have little plastic animals, and got a little horse and sort of clipped out these little gossamer-like frilly wings, then glued them on to the horse to create a Pegasus, because Pegasus has a connection with the muses and the founts of inspiration. So sort of like a little totemic thing going on there. Anyhow, that's a brief brief astrological look at the new year. One thing, I don't know where I read it, but I like to do at the New Year's Day is to get a broom and just right around the front door, sweep out. It's like symbolic of sweeping out the old and getting ready for the new. So what's new is also age old and throwing out old stuff. can be part of the what's new, and also connecting with the age old is what's not so new, but it's new in the moment. Typically around holiday time, I'll get a request for, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And having a backlog of books to read, at first decided no more books this year, thank you very much. But then having thought about it, realized that Eduardo Galeano's Children of the Days has a page per day of the year, hence the subtitle, A Calendar of Human History, and having just become wowed by Eduardo Galeano, did, if you've been listening, four part series on his amazing book Open Veins of Latin America: 5 Centuries of the Pillage of a Continent. So anyway, that became a holiday present, and these are the short bits. Some are just a couple of paragraphs, some are a page, but it shows his potency as a writer is just like short and powerful stuff, which you'll see. Now, the beginning of the sort of epigraph of the book says, "And the days began to walk, and they, the days, made us, and thus we were born, the children of the days, the discoverers, life's searchers." That's from Genesis, according to the Mayas. Now, that would be new if you think that the apple and the snake and the Adam and Eve was the only Genesis, then this is quite new to you. And I was not familiar with this particular bit, although I'm aware of other origin stories from different cultures, but it's a beautiful, beautiful way to look at life, the children of the days, that we are all children. From the native perspective, perhaps it's, you know, children of Mother Earth and Father Sky. So January begins January 1st. And each section has a title along with the date. And the title is Today. Today is not the first day of the year for the Mayas, the Jews, the Arabs, the Chinese, or many other inhabitants of this world. The date was chosen by Rome, Imperial Rome, and blessed by Vatican Rome, and it would be an overstatement to say that all humanity celebrates today as the crossing from one year to the next. That said, today we ought to acknowledge that time treats us rather kindly. Time allows us, its fleeting passengers, to believe that this day could be the very first day, and it gives us leave to want today to be as bright and joyous as the colors of an outdoor market. Not sure if January comes from Janus. There's a Roman god, Janus, who's a two-headed god, so that seems appropriate. You know, one head looking back on the year and one in forward. He's kind of a doorway type of god, I think, looking both ways. All right, January 2nd, from fire to fire. On this day in 1492, Granada fell, and with it fell Muslim Spain. Triumph of the Holy Inquisition. Granada was the last Spanish kingdom where mosques, churches, and synagogues could live side by side in peace. That same year, the conquest of America began, when America was still a mystery without a name. And in the years that followed, in distant bonfires, the same flames would consume the books of Muslims, of Jews, and of America's indigenous peoples. Fire was the only fate for words born in hell. January 3rd, memory on legs. On the third day of the year 47 BC, the most renowned library of antiquity burned to the ground. After Roman legions invaded Egypt, during one of the battles waged by Julius Caesar against the brother of Cleopatra, fire devoured most of the thousands upon thousands of papyrus scrolls in the Library of Alexandria. A pair of millennia later, after American legions invaded Iraq, during George W. Bush's crusade against an imaginary enemy, most of the thousands upon thousands of books in the Library of Baghdad were reduced to ashes. Throughout the history of humanity, only one refuge kept books safe from war and conflagration, the walking library, an idea that occurred to the Grand Vizier of Persia, Abdul Qasem Ismail, at the end of the 10th century. This prudent and tireless traveler kept his library with him. 117,000 books aboard 400 camels formed a caravan a mile long. The camels were also the catalog. They were arranged according to the titles of the books they carried, a flock for each of the 32 letters of the Persian alphabet. That's an amazing story. January 4th, land that attracts. Today, in 1643, Isaac Newton was born. Newton never had any lovers, as far as we know, male or female. Terrified of infections and ghosts, he died a virgin, touched by no one. But this fearful man had the courage to investigate and reveal the movement of the heavenly bodies, the composition of light, the speed of sound, the conduction of heat, and the law of gravity, the Earth's irresistible force of attraction, which calls to us and by calling reminds us of our origin and our destiny. Wonderfully written how he talks about him not having lovers, but then courage to study the irresistible force of attraction of the Earth gravity. January 5, land that speaks. George Washington Carver dreamed about God. "Ask of me whatever you wish," God offered. Carver asked him to reveal the secrets of peanuts. "Ask the peanut," God told him. George, a child of slaves, dedicated his life to resurrecting lands slain by the slave plantations. In his laboratory, which looked like an alchemist's kitchen, he developed hundreds of products made from peanuts and sweet potatoes: oil, cheese, butter, sauces, mayonnaise, soap, stains, dyes, inks, syrups, glues, talcum, dot, dot, dot. "The plants tell me," he explained. "They'll talk to anyone who knows how to listen." When he died on this day in 1943, he was nearly 80 years old and still handing out recipes and advice, still teaching in an unusual university, the first in Alabama to accept students who were black. I'm going to jump ahead and read January 9th. Elegy to Brevity. Today in Philadelphia in 1776, the first edition of Common Sense rolled off the press. Thomas Paine, the author, maintained that independence was only common sense, given the humiliation of being a colony and the ludicrous nature of hereditary monarchy, which might as easily crown an ass as a lion. The 48-page book spread faster than water or wind and became one of the fathers of U.S. independence. In 1848, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels wrote the 23 pages of the Communist Manifesto, which began by warning, "A specter is haunting Europe." It turned out to be the most influential book of the 20th century's revolutions. 26 pages summed up the exhortation to outrage, "Indignez-vous," that Stefan Hessel published in the year 2011. Those few words helped unleash earthquakes of protest in a number of cities. For many days and nights, outraged people in the thousands occupied streets and squares against the global dictatorships of bankers and warmongers. Now this, you know, amazing what he's saying, that sometimes the, you know, short is not only sweet, but sometimes more powerful. And reading that, it's working on a new book and sort of tightening up and editing little bits of essays. And so it has me thinking, you know, along those lines, like perhaps the tighter and shorter I make these things, perhaps the more powerful they be. Of course, it depends on, you know, the topic, but certainly food for thought. A couple more here. January 11th, the pleasure of going. Today in 1887 in Salta, the man who was Salta was born. Juan Carlos Dávalos, founder of a dynasty of musicians and poets. As the tellings tell it, he was the first to drive a Model T, the, quote, Ford with a mustache, unquote, in those parts of northern Argentina. His Model T snorted and smoked as its wheels rolled forward. It moseyed down the road. Turtles stopped to wait for it. A neighbor came up to him, greeted him with a worried face, commented, "But Mr. Dávalos, at this pace, you'll never get there." The driver responded, "I don't travel to get. I travel to go." That's wonderful. All right, January 12th, the rush to get there. On this morning in the year 2007, a violinist gave a concert in a subway station in Washington, D.C. Leaning against a wall alongside the usual litter, the musician, who looked more like a local kid, played the works of Schubert and other classics for 3/4 of an hour. 1,100 people hurried by without slowing their pace. 7 paused a bit longer than a moment. No one applauded. Some children wanted to stay but were dragged off by their mothers. No one realized he was Joshua Bell, one of the most esteemed virtuosos in the world. The Washington Post had organized the concert. It was their way of asking, do you have time for beauty? I remember reading that or seeing that online, and it was amazing, amazing little story to show how the, I don't know how much the format or the look of someone, how that affects the attention, and how somebody going, playing in the subway got barely attention, but this guy, in a concert hall would get people paying big bucks and totally quiet, ready for him to play. It reminds of reading the Dalai Lama talking about ADHD or attention deficit disorder, and commenting that it tends to be in affluent countries, and many of those children or people who are supposedly ADHD seems to go away when they have a 2 or 3 hour movie to watch that they enjoy. Also give a plug for that Galeano book. It's published by Nation Books, a member of the Perseus Books Group. Perseus, different from Pegasus. And this poem by Teokasin Ghost Horse is in the book Children of the Sun, Prosa Tree Unplugged, and also on the January portion of the Haiku calendars. Still a few available, both of those published by All Book Books. And I don't know exactly what the title means. I get the gist of it. You'll get the essence of it. It's from the Maya calendar, or the maybe obviously not just the Maya, but the Mayan way of recording time. And it is the number 4 AHAU, the number 8 CUMKU. Perhaps 4 Ahau or Ahel, something like that. 8 Kumku or Ahau. When I read it, I'm just going to say 4 and 8 because I don't want to mispronounce it over and over again. Turtle Island peoples, no starting point in history. 4, 8. No ties to any specific point in history. 4, 8. Marks the creation of the universe. 4, 8. Measuring history from the date of creation. 4, 8. Unlike the man from the eastern water who measures their beginning from the iconic birth and death of their Messiah, Christ, A.D., B.C., qualifying himself as Artium Baccalaureus, we are the people of the long count, 4, 8, counting from creation, 4, 8, remarkably prescient, 4, 8. So again, as Galeano mentions at the beginning of his book, that not everybody celebrates the New Year on January 1st. So here is this, perspective reminding us of the Native Indigenous peoples, that this whole birth of Christ, A.D., B.C. time is just one way of keeping time, and there is an age-old way, and that's kind of new to learn that if you don't already know it. So wish everybody a happy New Year, or happy same old, or happy old new stuff, or new old stuff, or however you want to look at it. And may it be a happy, healthy year for you and yours. And we will go out with a track from Brian Eno's CD called Another Day on Earth. The song is Just Another Day. And one comment, though, about the title. It's a wonderful song, and yet, having learned from the Native perspective to change my way of saying, instead of saying on Earth, the word on has a sense of domination, like peace on Earth rather than peace with Earth. So have come to make myself say that, and to point it out when I can, to say with Earth, not on Earth. So that said, here is the song. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.
just to